Hey, everybody. Good morning. Welcome back, and thanks for joining us. It's another beautiful morning to talk about the golden era of professional wrestling, and today we've got a fantastic show ahead of us, sure to be one of the top discussions we've ever had, because we have a very special guest joining us this morning. And man, if you want to feel like you're not doing enough in life, just look up this gentleman. We have author, professor, PhD. The man does more in a day than I think I've done my whole life. His name is Brad Baluchian, and he is the author of a couple of books. The first one released in 2020 called The Wax Pack. You know how when we were kids and we'd collect baseball cards, you'd open up the pack, you'd chew on the gum, and then you'd organize the cards in your binder, and that's where the story would end. But not for Brad. He opened up a pack of 1986 cards, and he went on a journey to meet every single player in that pack, and he documented that journey in the best-selling book ever, The Wax Pack. He's at it again. He's doing the same thing with what we love, the golden era of professional wrestling. Early next month, the release of the six-pack on the road, on the open road, in search of WrestleMania. Brad Baluchian is at it again. He's chasing down the superstars of our childhood. He documented the whole thing, and this is going to be a must-read for every wrestling fan. We have that coming up at the top of the show. We'll also be recapping ISPW later in this episode. You're going to want to stick around for the whole thing. My name is Jumpin' Jay. This is 80s Wrestling, the podcast. And as always, I sit across from the Confather, Tommy Fierro. Tommy, good morning, sir. What a conversation awaits us.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Jumpin' Jay. Good morning, everyone listening to 80s Wrestling, the podcast. I'm excited for today's episode, man. I got an advanced copy of this book, and let me tell you, it is absolutely phenomenal, and it comes out next week. So I thought today would be the perfect time to have Brad on and talk all about his book. Now, Jay, you're going to be excited for this. Brad's also going to be at 80s Wrestling Con. They're going to have a booth there promoting his book and doing a book signing as well. So not only will we get to learn a little bit more about Brad today, but we'll get to hang out with him and talk to him in person at 80s Wrestling Con. And like you said, also the second half of the show, we will be talking all about this past Friday's ISPW Golden Ticket Rumble. Lots of drama coming out of last Friday's ISPW show, including not one, but two new ISPW heavyweight champions. We'll get into that later along with the Rumble match itself and the results. But right now, Jay, let's jump right into it, man. I'm excited to talk about this topic tonight.
Yeah, I could not be more excited as I was researching this gentleman. Literally, he has done so much. He's a young guy. He's done so much in his life. He seemed to be just like this champion of nostalgia.
He's a handsome guy, too.
Hey, listen, I did not share his photo with my wife. That is how good-looking this guy is. I didn't need that this morning. But without further ado, let's welcome on the man himself, author, PhD, the man of the hour, Brad Baluchian. Welcome to today's program.
Thanks, guys. Jay and Tommy, you know, that intro music you play in your show and the coffee I got going, I'm feeling pretty good this morning.
Listen, so nice. Are we, Brad. We are beyond excited to have you on today. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to talk to us. Both of the books that you have written sounds like a childhood dream come true. I love the fact that you just don't let the nostalgia, the passion sit on the sidelines. You're actively pursuing it, literally driving thousands of miles, chasing down these stories. I would love to open the show just since we are a wrestling-based show. I would love to get your thoughts on what captured your imagination about the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah, man, and, you know, thanks for having me on this show. This is like, the perfect show for me to be on for this book, your audience, so I appreciate it. You know, I grew up in the 80s in Rhode Island, going to the Providence Civic Center, being a wrestling fan, you know, I can really, the watching on Saturday mornings. And I think it was, like, I was a shy kid, you know, I got picked on as a kid. It didn't really have any outlet. But wrestling was that place where I could go to where I could just let my imagination go and let my frustration go and kind of have this outlet for everything. And I think it's because, as you guys know better than anybody, the characters, the storylines, you know, just you could just lose yourself in these alter egos, these other personalities. And so what I wanted to do in this book was now I'm an adult, right? I have the kid version of me that loved the Iron Sheik and Hulk Hogan and all these guys. But as an adult, I want to know who are these guys in real life? Like, where does the character end and the real person begin? And to what extent did these guys become their characters? And so while it's definitely a book about wrestling, it's also about the humanity of playing this character 24/7 for so many years. And so because of that, every chapter is titled as, for example, Terry Bollea versus Hulk Hogan, or the Iron Sheik versus Khosrow Vaziri. In other words, these guys in some ways were, their whole lives were battling themselves, you know, whether they would lose their real identity or not as they play these characters.
Man, that is an incredibly interesting take on professional wrestlers and what they do, because, you know, actors portray a character on screen, but when the filming is done, they can set it aside and move on to the next project, where a lot of these wrestlers carry this character throughout their entire career. And in a lot of our eyes as fans, that's who these people are. We kind of forget about, you know, life on the other side of the curtain. And so that is a very intriguing way to approach a book.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's going to be like at 80s Wrestling Con. You know, I can't wait to meet you guys there and see the fans. But that's when we go to 80s Wrestling Con, right? The people going to get autographs from these guys are going to be signing their name Sergeant Slaughter, not Bob Remus, and Tito Santana, not Merced mm-hmm. Solis, right? And I was just thinking about how weird is that? Like, what other profession is there in the world where you sign your autograph and you don't sign your actual name? You know, it's such a unique, anomalous job. It's a unique form of entertainment, and it's just one of a kind, and it's why we love it so much.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, one of my favorite professional wrestling tag teams ever was Demolition, if you remember those guys. And I met them at one of Tommy's wrestling conventions, got their autograph, and I had that moment myself where I looked down at it, and I said, these two grown men just wrote the words Axe and Smash on this piece of paper for me. and I couldn't have been more excited. I have it hanging up in my house. Well, but yeah, it is kind of a wild thing when you stop and think about it.
And I'm glad you brought up Axe, because he's a big part of the book. The Six Pack comes out on Tuesday. And Bill Eadie, his real name, played the mass superstar before he was Axe. And the guys that I wrote about in this book, the reason why it's called The Six Pack, aside from the fact that these guys were drinking lots of six packs and trying to build their six packs in the gym, is that there were six guys that I tracked down from the Madison Square Garden show on December 26, 1983, that were there the day the Iron Sheik won the championship from Backlund. And the Iron Sheik is kind of the star of this book. You know, we could talk about that, but he's I had this whole backstory with him where I got to know him personally and was going to write a book with him 17, 18 years ago. But Bill Eadie is one of the guys. He was on that show as the mass superstar, and I was able to not only track down Bill and have a nice conversation with him at his daughter's house in North Carolina, but also went to the town he grew up in Brownsville, Pennsylvania, and walked around the town and saw where he grew up and talked to his high school classmates. And that's what I did in this book. Is like, it's really, most wrestling books are, you know, written based on research that people have done, you know, various sources, or it's their biography. This is a book where I go out on the road and I go to the hometown of these guys. Like, I went to Mission, Texas, where Tito Santana grew up. I went to Eden Prairie, Minnesota, where Sergeant Slaughter grew up, to meet with their family, their friends, their coaches, and really get a sense of, like, who were these guys before they became the character.
I love it, man. It's like, you know, right now, a very popular thing on like the channel A&E is all these biographies of these wrestlers. People of our age that grew up watching these real life superheroes are so interested in learning about the men behind the characters that I think anybody that's a wrestling fan, anyone that's a fan of the story of human beings and their journeys is going to want to pick up this book, Brad. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah,
oh, that's awesome,
and that's
man.
Like, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I had the chance to read it already. It's really awesome. And you guys know, especially you, Jay, what a huge fan I am of Bill Eadie. He's one of my favorite guys to work with of all time. And he is a big part of that book. It's really, really good. Again, it comes out this Tuesday. And I urge everyone to definitely go out and grab a copy of it. Anyone that's listening to the show would definitely 1,000,000% enjoy every sentence of that book.
Well, I know I'll be picking up a copy as soon as it's released here in my town, and we're going to go to the slam line next, Tommy. The Rock and Wrestling Collector slam line is already stacked and packed. People are excited to connect and talk to Brad. And up first is an unknown number, Tommy, to the show. So it's either a first-time caller or my bookkeeping has fallen through the cracks once again. But it's caller from parts unknown, as we like to say here on the show. Area code 315, good morning. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Good morning, fellas. My name is Ed Helinski. I appear in the book in pages 118 to 122 and pages 124. Glad to meet you.
Hey, how are you? Very, very awesome to have you on the show. I actually own I'm a wrestling promoter, but I also own a wrestling store in New Jersey called The Wrestling Collector, and I have those copies of the magazine right on my showcase in the store right now. So huge fan of those early publications. Amazing job. Very nice.
Yeah, I
just
want
to, well,
if I can jump in here, Ed was so helpful for me in my research, and he can share it himself, but Ed was actually the first guy that Vince McMahon brought in to edit the first WWF magazine, which was called Victory in 1983. And Vince recruited him and a photographer named Steve Taylor to come work for the WWF to help them with this new magazine. So thank you. Ed has been really helpful to me. He's in the book. He's been a great source of information.
Been a lot of fun, Brad. I'm looking forward to coming on the road when you come up here to Syracuse, New York on April 27th.
That's right. Ed and I are going to be in conversation at a bookstore called Parthenon in Syracuse, April 27th. So if you want, you know, Ed is a guy that knew Vince McMahon, you know, really early on and helped him build the company. So if you're interested in the WWF origin story, like 1983, 84 and their expansion, you know, Ed was one of the employees when it was still a small company up there on 81 Holly Hill Lane in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun back then, a lot of years ago as well, too. So, hey, Brad, we're doing some TV and then radio, too, when you're coming up to Syracuse. So let's have some fun and be prepared.
Yeah, I can't wait, man.
Ed, thank you so much for calling in. What a treat to have somebody who works so closely with the product that we love and talk about weekly. So thank you for calling in and sharing a little bit of your story.
My pleasure. Thanks for taking my phone call, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, there you go. We had Ed, who sounds like he was a very early editor of the WWF magazine, which is one of the places where I'm sure, Brad, you got some inspiration as a child and helped you fall in love with the product.
Yeah, I mean, you remember those days you go down to the pharmacy or the supermarket, whatever, the newsstand. And it was so great, right? So many of those magazines, all the After magazines, and then you had WWF magazine, and, you know, you had then Wrestling Eye and all these Wrestling Power and all these magazines that I kind of missed those
days.
Oh, hey,
can I jump in real quick? Listen, if you're not a regular listener of the show, you can go back and listen to the old episodes that we've had here. Me and Jay, one episode, had a lengthy discussion / argument because he never heard of the Wrestling Eye magazine. So when you just said
I was going to ask you, Brad, if Tommy put you up to saying that. I thought maybe Tommy told you to say Wrestling Eye. Because in Minnesota, we did not get the Wrestling Eye. I had never heard of it. I thought he was pulling my leg.
Okay, Wrestling Eye was so underrated and ahead of its time because it would actually kind of play with the border between work and shoot, you know, well before the other magazines did. And it had a little bit
Absolutely.
Of like an insider take back in the 80s. And so, yeah, I've always thought that magazine was underrated.
You know, Tommy has done
Brad, a
nice thing. He sent me a couple issues, so I have read it now. But when I first brought up the Wrestling Eye, I had never heard of it.
Yeah, no, well, it wasn't part of the After family of magazines there.
Yes. Hey, Brad, I was going to tell you, so at 80s Wrestling Con, we are going to be doing a live podcast of 80s Wrestling, the podcast, with George Napolitano and Chapter, the magazines of the 80s. Now, Brad, I'm going to be honest with you. I am probably going to be, I know I'm going to be running around with a chicken with its head cut off if I can't make it to do that session with Jay, and chances are I'm probably not going to. How would you like to sit in with Jay and you guys host it together with George Napolitano and Bill Apter at 80s Wrestling Con?
Oh, man, that is an amazing offer. Absolutely, 100%. Count me in.
Oh, I love it. Exciting.
All right.
It's just because he thinks I'm going to drop the ball because I've never heard of the wrestling guy, so he's worried. So he's bringing in a ringer, which I appreciate. Brad, we're going to keep you around for a little bit.
Tommy, have you ever tracked down the editor of the Wrestling Eye, Tommy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm friends with him.
Yeah, so, yeah, there you go. It's a great publication.
We're going to have him on the show sometime, too. I'd love to learn more. But right now, we got people that want to learn more about you, Brad. We got some callers waiting in the wings that I'm sure are excited to talk to you about your existing book and your book that releases on April 2nd, the six-pack. So we're going to go back to the Slam line. Up first is a longtime friend of the show, lives out in Chico, California. We call him Babyface Brian. Brian, good morning, sir. You are live with Brad.
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Tommy. And welcome to 80s Wrestling, the podcast. Brad, thanks for sharing your story, my friend.
Hey, man, Chico State, I love it. I just moved from California last month, so Golden State.
Awesome. Yeah, you couldn't have picked a better time to start your story. The WWF, the Golden Era, if you're going to pick a date to say this is when it kicked off, that's as good a date as any. They had like 8 or 9 days off before Christmas, and then they came back, and it was just right from there. It just ignited with Sheik winning the title. Hulk showed up a couple days later, and then, you know, the very next month on the 23rd of January, Hulk wins it from the Sheik. Today is actually the 40th anniversary of the filming of Roddy Piper hitting Jimmy Snuka in the head with the coconut. They didn't air it until June, but it was 40 years ago today that that Roddy and Jimmy had that famous Piper's Pit. So, I mean, we're right in the 40-year anniversary of all this amazing stuff that kicked off most, I'm sure all of us on the phone right now, all of our favorite time in pro wrestling. I know you were super young at the time, but when you were doing your homework and doing your research, like I say, I couldn't think of a better time to pick out to start your book. So amazing job and amazing story. I think you came up with a fantastic idea.
Thanks, man. I know you're a serious wrestling fan because if you know that they took an eight day layoff before Christmas, you're a hardcore fan, and you're exactly right. I actually researched that because I was like, what was going on in those 8 days? And so I went back and I talked to Khosrow Vaziri, the Iron Sheik, and I talked to people in the front office, and I was able to actually get records from internal WWF documents showing, you know, various house shows and how much they grossed and all that. And it's true. Like back then, Vince would give them that week before Christmas off, which was like such a special treat for these guys because they were on such a crazy schedule. And so the book, you'll appreciate this. The book actually, I think it's chapter 2, opens up right before that Madison Square Garden event with Iron Sheik and his wife Carol flying up from Atlanta to Pittsburgh to pick up the Iron Sheik's car because he had last wrestled in Pittsburgh on like December 18 or 17. And they drive across Pennsylvania and they stop at a Perkins to get lunch. And they go into Midtown Manhattan, Madison Square Garden. And as they're driving in to the building, they're getting pelted. Their car is getting pelted with debris and fans are throwing stuff because they recognize it's the Iron Sheik coming in with his wife. And Carol would never go to the shows. Like Carol, his wife, wasn't a wrestling fan. And so you knew, although Kaz wasn't told that he was going to win the belt specifically until he got to the building that night, you know, he kind of knew, he could sense it in the air that he was going to win. And that's why he told Carol, his wife, come with me. I want you to fly up with me from home in Atlanta to come to this show because it's something really important is going to go down. And so I'm glad you brought that up because that period, you know, I really focus in the book on the details of that day in December 26 and how Kaz ended up becoming the champion.
Well, I'm anxious to read the book. The other cool thing, I look at the cover and I'm a I'm a big LJN guy. I have a podcast about LJNs. I do an Andre impression. And on, one of the three wrestlers on the cover of your book is the Iron Sheik. It's got Hulk Hogan, the Iron Sheik, Tito Santana. It hasn't even been a year yet since the Sheik passed. But I also couldn't compliment you more on the timing of your book. I'm anxious to see how much you got to deal with the Sheik because it hasn't even been a year since he passed. But there were 62 guys, if you don't count Sergeant Slaughter being in the Hasbro mold of an LJN, there were 62 guys that had a real-life LJN figure. And Iron Sheik, kind of like he kicked off the Golden Era with winning the belt, he was the turning point. When he passed away, it went from having the balance be dead even at 31 people alive, 31 people dead. Sheik passing away turned the tide and made it so more of those guys have passed away than are still around. So just kind of a weird factoid for guys that are so into the line and so into the old WWF Golden Era. And so I'm just really glad that you got to track him down before that happened.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you'll see in the book, I mean, the book is really focused a lot on the Iron Sheik because, again, in 2005, I went and lived near him in Fayetteville, Georgia to work on a book with him, and that fell apart. And then on this trip, I go back and reunite with him. And it was kind of crazy. Like, I turned this book into my editor beginning of June last year, and a week later, I get a text from his daughter saying that he had just passed away in the night. And so I scrapped all my plans. I got on a plane. The family invited me to the private service that they had. Mm-hmm. I flew out to Atlanta for the funeral and ended up writing an epilogue, which was unexpected, obviously, that based on that experience of going to the funeral.
Well, I want to thank you for putting this bit of history out there and for capturing the stories of these guys when you did. I'm really looking forward to the book. And wish you all the success in the world. And again, just say thank you, and I'll let some other callers talk to you. But thank you, Brad. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks. Yeah, let me know what you think after you read it. I'm at Brad Pack Books on Twitter, so let me know.
Yeah, we follow each other on there. I'm at 80_wrestling. I'm 80s wrestling fan on there, so I'll send you a DM.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. You got all the pictures of the LGN. Yeah, I love that. Great account.
Awesome. Very cool, man. So good to talk to you. Take care, my friend.
Thanks.
Yeah, here on the show, Brad, we call Babyface Brian the human encyclopedia because he's got those dates at the top of his head like none other than anyone I've ever met. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, that's great stuff right there.
All right, up next on the Rock and Wrestling Slam Line, it's time to visit with Matt from Boston. Matt, good morning, sir. You are on live with Brad, the author of The Six-Pack on the Open Road in Search of WrestleMania.
Wow, good morning. What a treat, honestly. Brad, I am a fan of yours, and officially now, I think I can anoint you you've got the official pen of my childhood because – there were two things that really, overwhelmed me as a child, and it was baseball cards and it was wrestling. And I have read the Wax Pack and love it. When I heard about loved it. And when I heard about the new book coming out, I think I first heard of it, gosh, probably 3 or 4 months ago, maybe longer, honestly. But I may be off on that. I think I heard it. I think I first got tipped off on it through Eric Bischoff's Twitter. Mm-hmm. But instantly was like, oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, that officially, anoints you the author of my childhood. And I cannot wait for this book. It's right in my wheelhouse, just like the Wax Pack book was. Super excited to read it. So my one question for you, Brad, is in writing this book, what was maybe one unexpected or challenging aspect, that you kind of weren't expecting going in?
Well, as you might imagine, a lot of these guys from this era are super protective and of themselves. And, there's a lot of exploitation that went on, the way that their working conditions and everything as wrestlers. And so understandably, a lot of these guys are very guarded and maybe don't want to talk, or they, a couple of them were like, well, you need to pay me in order to talk to me. And so as a journalist, that's tough because we're not supposed to pay our sources. This isn't public relations. But So I would tell them, like, hey, you know, I can't pay you. And they would say, well, okay, I'm not going to talk to you. And so I'd say, okay, look, here's the deal. I'll pay you, but I'm going to tell the reader that I'm paying you. I want to make sure that's out in the open. So I think, like, unlike the baseball players where, you know, they have a union, they have certain protections. Professional wrestling in the 80s, especially, it was not, you know, they didn't have the kind of leverage in the public eye that other athletes have. And so I think a lot of these guys are very, you know, guarded about their time and everything. So that was a challenge to be able to navigate, but it all worked out. You know, I got really great access to most of the guys, and where I couldn't, I still wrote about them. I was still able to go do my research and go on the road and talk to people. So thank you for your support. I like to think that there's a whole bunch of us, right, that we're in our late 30s and our 40s and our 50s now, and that pre-internet era of life that we grew up with baseball cards and wrestling figures, there's a lot of us that have very nostalgic feelings about that. And so I kind of look at my role as like an avatar for all of us to go out there, and you can experience through my eyes, you know, what it's like to go talk to these guys and find out what they're up to.
Yeah. So Brad, I'll tell you that your books just absolutely hit the mark with me. And, you know, when you talk about the Wax Pack book, you know, that there's not a ton of books out there like that. I'd been, you know, searching for good ones and, you know, I found yours. That was great. And then, you know, the six pack is, again, just right in the wheelhouse of, you know, a guy my age. And I looked up your book tour and I was so excited. I saw Brookline, Mass on there and I'm like, I'm in Boston. That's literally like,
yeah,
you know, three train stops away. And then I looked at the date and I'm like, oh no, I'm going to be out of town. But the reason I'm going to be out of town is because I'm already going to be in New Jersey for 80s Wrestling Con, which is your very next stop. So
look at that.
So I'll catch you there for sure.
Right there. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've never been more happy to miss something that I've been excited about coming to Boston or Brookline. And then, you know, I see the very next entry on the tour and I'm like, done. Okay. I'm already there. So I'll let you go. But huge fan. Thanks for all your work and penning my childhood memories. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess tell me what else you like so then I can write the third book about that.
There you go. There you go. I'll workshop some ideas and get back to you on that one.
Thank you so much, Matt, for calling in and weighing in. So, Brad, thank you so much for your time this morning. If you're not going to make it to 80s Wrestling Con like Matt and myself are, where can they get a copy of this book? Wherever great books are sold, and where can we find you on social media?
Sure, yeah. Wherever books are sold, as they say. I'm also online at Instagram and on Twitter at Brad Pack Books. And one last thing, starting on Tuesday, along with the book launch, I'm also launching my website, thebradpack.com. And that's where I'm going to put all the bonus material, right? All the stuff I was talking about, the documents from the WWF. And I have Vince McMahon Sr.'s journal from 1963 and all this, you know, this rare stuff that's never been seen before. And we're going to put that up and have all these extra special things.
That is unbelievable. Be sure to check that out. The Brad Pack website. This has been Brad Lucci. Oh man, I butchered it there right at the end. But Lucian, author of
go.
The Six Pack on the Open Road in Search of WrestleMania. Brad, thank you so much for your time this morning. Best of luck with the book. I'll be picking up a copy. I'm sure all the listeners will be as well. And I look forward to seeing you and hosting an episode of this very show at 80s Wrestling Con.
My new co-host. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys, for having me on and looking forward to meeting everyone.
All right. Thank you so much, Brad.
Yeah, we'll see you soon, man.
What a way to kick off today's episode. Tremendous guy there, and he's accomplished so much, man. And I'm very excited about this upcoming book. April 2nd, the launch date. You've already read it, Tommy. I'll be sure to get my own copy in just a few days.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm excited to have him there. And, I was thinking about it, Jay. Chances are I'm probably not going to be able to sit down and do a half hour or 45-minute live podcast during the convention. So I think Brad is a fantastic substitute for me. And I think that you guys will definitely gel very well together.
And who knows? It may end up being a chapter in his next book. or maybe not.
Maybe. Sorry about that. I was actually I was texting someone right now for a surprise, a possible appearance on the second half of this podcast concerning ISPW. So if you can start talking real quick, let me just finish this text message and see if I can grab him on at the end of the episode.
Well, I will tell you what, this time of year is no different than any other time of year for Tommy Fierro, because you've been incredibly busy and ISPW has been putting out some hard hitting action. Last Friday was the big Golden Ticket Rumble for ISPW. It was a Royal Rumble type matchup, the ISP Golden Ticket Rumble, and the Golden Ticket is a lot like Money in the Bank, where the winner of this Rumble pretty much has a title shot anytime they choose to cash in. And that's this last Friday, March 22nd, the Rumble went down, and we're going to be talking to Tommy all about the results, the winners,
oh, yeah,
the losers, the fallout, and what's next for ISPW.
Absolutely, man. So I just confirmed that another person that's going to be calling in after Rick Recon. Sorry about that. I was just he got back to me and I just confirmed it. But yeah, I want to talk all about this past Friday night's ISPW Golden Ticket Rumble. It was at the Totowa PAL in Totowa, New Jersey. It was a really, really, really awesome event. 30-man Golden Ticket Rumble. Every minute, another contestant came into the ring. Same rules as the WWE Royal Rumble. Last man standing is the winner and gets the opportunity to win the Golden Ticket and challenge for the ISPW heavyweight title anytime in the next year. Now, Jay, the name of the event was the Golden Ticket Rumble, and earlier in the night, there was an ISPW heavyweight title match between Crowbar and the Phoenix GKM, and GKM shocked everyone and captured the ISPW heavyweight title, defeating Crowbar cleanly to become the first ever ISPW Grand Slam champion. And he didn't even have a chance to celebrate after and you've seen Crowbar's matches. They are extremely grueling, and he never takes the night off. So, I mean, after a back and forth 15-minute battle, you know, he's, you know, just about to celebrate capturing the title and, you know, becoming the first ever Grand Slam champion. And Ray Kalitri's music hits, and he cashes in his golden ticket right on the spot to become the new ISPW heavyweight champion. Now, Jay, I know you were at last year's 80s Wrestling Con, and we had the first ever Golden Ticket Rumble there, and you saw Kalitri win, and he waited until this event itself to cash it in, and now he is the main event of 80s Wrestling Con coming up. Now, real quick, before we get to our next guest, Rick Recon, I want to talk about that Golden Ticket Rumble. Now, the two favorites heading into this match for ISPW fans was Rick Recon and the five-star stud Joey Ace. They were the two odds-on favorites to win it, and sure enough, Rick Recon picks number one and Joey Ace picks number two, and they kick it off, and the people are immediately into it. The two favorites to win the Rumble are starting off 1 and 2. And by the way, this show will be shown in its entirety probably within the next couple days on our partner Premier Wrestling's app, and also on their YouTube page as well. So you'll be able to go back and check out the entire show. They have been doing a fantastic job with us, partnering up with us and getting more eyes on the ISPW product. I just found out last night, actually, that the show from 2 weeks ago with Mick Foley has close to 9,000 views on their platform, which is really awesome. So a lot of new eyes on ISPW with Premier Wrestling. We're extremely excited to partner with them in the upcoming months and this year, and they're going to be part of 80s Wrestling Con as well. And you'll be able to see ISPW Rockin' Wrestling 3 if you are not able to make it to 80s Wrestling Con. So getting back to that match, Rick Recon and Joey Ace picked number 1 and 2. And the final four, Jay, in the Rumble was Rick Recon and Joey Ace, who went the distance, along with Joe Clean, who the fans were really surprised he was in the Final Four, and the returning ISPW Hall of Famer and two-time champion, the superstar, Danny Morrison. So this is the Final Four after they eliminated a surprise debuting Darius Carter, who made his ISPW debut, and he's in a big match at 80s Wrestling Con. We'll get into that later. But it came down to the Final Four, and Kalitri's music hits. He comes out, starts talking smack to Joey and Recon, and they turn around. Danny Morrison double clotheslines Recon and Joey Ace out of the ring, and it was heartbreaking for both. And there's a picture captured. I believe if you go to Rick Recon's social media, he posted it of him just, you know, the agony of defeat, both of those guys. You see them just laying there on the outside of the floor. And then the shock of all shocks, Jumpin' Jay, Danny Morrison goes to throw Joe Clean over the top. Joe Clean reverses it, and Joe Clean is the 2024 ISPW Golden Ticket holder. Let me tell you, that place came unglued when he won that. And again, you'll be able to watch this on the Premier Wrestling app, and I would say in the next couple of days. Now, obviously, tons of drama coming out of this show last week, which all roads lead to 80s Wrestling Con for ISPW Rockin' Wrestling 3 on Saturday, May the 4th at the Men in Sports Arena in Morristown, New Jersey. I know a lot of our listeners from out of town come in every year for 80s Wrestling Con and stay for the ISPW show. So we have a big main event for you this year. With all the drama coming out of last Friday's show, it will now be a fatal four-way for the ISPW heavyweight title at 80s Wrestling Con. The new champion, the international shining star, Ray Kalitri, who will not have only his girl in his corner. He now has Michael Mars, who he hired as Poppy's insurance policy. And because it's 80s Wrestling Con, and let me tell you something, Kalitri has the money to back up what he does. He has hired the services of the leader of the Four Horsemen, J.J. Dillon, to be in his corner at 80s Wrestling Con when he puts the title on the line against the Phoenix GKM, Rick Recon, and Joey Ace. Big, big match, and I'm really looking forward to it. And, Jay, I know you are too.
It's going to be absolutely incredible. The fallout from this Golden Ticket Rumble is absolutely incredible. And listen, if you're the new ISPW heavyweight champion, if you're Ray Kalitri and you're looking at a fatal four-way defense at the biggest show of the year, yeah, you better put your money where your mouth is, and you better add some extra security on your side of the ring, because the odds are stacked against him to retain that title.
Yes, sir. Now, Jay, is anyone on hold, because they're saying they're trying to call in, but they're saying that all circuits are busy. I don't know if it's technical difficulties there are in, or if it's fixed now, or is he on hold or no?
Nope, we haven't had anybody attempt to call in or at least get through to the system. So I would have him try again, try that guest call-in line. And when we see his number pop up, We'll bring him on. But, yeah, man, I'm very excited for 80s Wrestling Con, not only for the convention itself, but to see some of the fallout here. It's been a year since I've seen an ISPW show live and in person, and believe me, I got the itch, man. I want to be back there cheering and booing and just being amazed at all the action inside that ring.
Awesome, man. If you do me a favor, I sent you Recon's number. Can you try and get him on? Maybe it's
for
something
sure
on our end. Thank you. And we'll try and get him on. And we also have someone else, hopefully, that's going to be, well, we'll probably have to call them now as I hear a couple of people are calling into the show. But once again, unfortunately, as always, with our wonderful sound system we have there in the back, the guy's working for peanuts because we can't get the calls to come in. So hopefully Jay can get him on right now. Jay is attempting to call Rick Recon. And again, we're going to talk all about what happened this past Friday at ISPW's Golden Ticket Rumble. Jumpin' Jay, are you back with us yet? Okay, I believe he's trying to get him on the horn. Again, it could be possibly technical difficulties on our end. It's happened in the past.
Tommy,
are you back with us yet?
I'm back, and we've got the man waiting in the wings as we speak.
Awesome. So sorry that I don't know if you got to hear us talking about it, but we talked all about what happened this past Friday. You were number one, and Joey was number two. You guys went the distance, and I broke down everything that happened with Kalitru coming out and what he did earlier and what the main event now is for 80s Wrestling Con. We just wanted to get you on this morning. We're joined by Rick Recon, who drew number one, and he was in the final four. And again, he keeps saying it, and it's true. It's the title that he's never lost, and he's coming back for it. Rick, welcome back. Obviously, our listeners know who you are. You've been on several times in the past. It's good to finally have you back on after a long time.
Yeah, it's been a minute, and I really love being back on this, man. Anytime I can pop on and say what I got to say, I love it.
Yeah, man. So anyone that wasn't there this past Friday, and we just broke down what happened, a lot of our listeners from out of the area come in for 80s Wrestling Con, so we pretty much told them the backstory of this fatal four-way scheduled for 80s Wrestling Con. Now, this is your second main event in a row for 80s Wrestling Con. You brought it to my attention. You're the only guy that's main evented 80s Wrestling Con 2 years in a row. So that's got to make you feel pretty good, man, heading into the big show on May 4th.
It does. It really does. It's never been done before because, you know, I'm the first one to do it, and that's always excellent to be the first person to do it. But at the same time, while it's awesome and it's an honor, at the same time, I still got to walk away with the gold. That's the goal. So, like, that is the main focus regardless of making history. Like, that, I'm coming for the title, and I never lost it. Never got pinned for it. Never got submitted for it at all. And to be honest, like, if it wasn't for Ray sticking his nose where it didn't belong, as he usually does, because he makes it all about him constantly in front of the curtain or behind it, like, if it wasn't for him, I know I would have won that. I know I would have won the Golden Ticket Rumble. And yes, I'm in the main event, and it is for the title. So, yeah, I do get my shot. But it's not just me and Ray handling what we got to handle. It's two other guys on top of it. So the chances of walking out with that are really about 25% now. So it's, I feel like the deck is somewhat stacked against me. But, again, I'm, he put me in a corner. And unlike a lot of people, I don't break. I break out of the corner, and I win, and I continue to deliver and to win. And that's what I'm going to do again.
Listen, Rick, there's a very famous saying in the world of professional wrestling. In order to be the man, you've got to beat the man. And as you pointed out, you've never been beaten for that championship title. And so in my mind, in a lot of people's mind, you still are the man. Now, before we even talk 80s Wrestling Con, I heard that you have a one-on-one title shot on April 12th in Hoboken, New Jersey, where you go one-on-one with Ray Kalitri. So in my mind, maybe 80s Wrestling Con, you're walking in with the gold, my friend.
Yes. Yes, this is also a very, very true statement. And Ray has never beaten me in ISPW. In ISPW ring, he's never beaten me, no matter what he does, no matter how many tricks he's got up his sleeve. I mean, he could stack the deck. He could have his girl out with him. He could now apparently have a new insurance policy in Michael Mars, and that's all fine. But, you know, anytime I've ever dealt with Michael Mars, I've always come out on top. Anytime I've ever faced Ray, I've always come out on top. So I would say my chances are pretty high. So he thought he was pulling a fast one, trying to get over on me and Joey, which is his friend, which shows you how little he actually cares about loyalty and friendship and brotherhood. That's a joke to him. But I do have a shot. I have two shots, basically. So I don't tend to miss on my shots, though. So, yeah, card's subject to change. So the card's going to have to change for AEW's WrestlingCon then, won't it? It'll have to be me walking in as champion and the other three walking in as the challengers. So we could do it that way, too.
I like the sound of that, personally. Now, Rick, I have to know, since you never got beat for that title, what does it feel like to see somebody else walking around with what is rightfully yours, that ISPW Heavyweight Championship? Does that add fuel to the fire to see somebody else wrapping it around their waist knowing they didn't get it from you?
Oh, it grinds my gears, makes me grit my teeth. In fact, I've been gritting my teeth so much I might actually have to make an extra appointment at the dentist, because man, I've been really grinding them and gritting them, especially seeing him with the title. And what really irks me probably more than anything is how he got the championship. He couldn't just cash it in and say, hey, I'm cashing in on this day against you. I want a match with you. He goes and picks the bones. And I understand that that's the whole concept of that thing. But you really, not only are you walking around with my championship, you stole a moment from GKM, who's busted his ass just as much as anybody else. And you stole that from him when he was blown sky high. He was beat up. He just had a 20-minute match with Crowbar, and that's the time that you pick. And he still took it to him. He still barely won. So that shows you what kind of a champion he is. He can't go the distance. He just can't. And he's going to try to do it against me in a few weeks. And then if he somehow survives that, he's going to try to do it against three other guys that are gunning for him. Dude, his writing's on the wall for him, man. He might want to just get his stuff in now, because after any of these matches, man, he's not going to last much longer.
If I could jump in, I'm going to jump in real quick before we let you go, Recon, and pull the curtain back just a teeny, teeny, teeny little bit, because we're pretty honest with our listeners here on the podcast. We're like one big family, you know, it's usually the same callers and listeners every week. So I do want to, if it's okay with you, pull the curtain back a teeny little bit. Now, Recon and GKM are really, really cool with each other at the shows. You always see them vibing with each other. They respect each other. The other two guys, not so much, especially Kalitri. There is no love lost between Recon and Kalitri on a professional level, not on a personal level, but a very much so professional level, that reminds me something very similar to Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, where both the guys are up at the same time and they're climbing at the same time and they both want the same thing. This is an even crazier situation because Joey Ace is red hot in ISW right now, and so is GKM. So I really feel like this Fatal 4-Way was without question the biggest match ISPW could present with everything that just happened at 80s Wrestling Con. So if you see some stiff punches in there, there's no love lost, Jumpin' Jay.
Well, they say real heat puts butts in seats, man. And so if there's a competitive edge to all of this, that's going to make it that much more intense. And I'm going to be so much happier that I get to be there live and in person and see it for myself.
Yeah, listen, that's clearly why we've been filling the seats the last few shows. ICW is red hot, man. That momentum is starting, man. So, listen, there's a reason for it. There is a reason for it. And it's honestly, it's from all the hard work of everyone that puts into the company from the top to the bottom. Like, you can't deny that.
Absolutely. And, Recon, you are a big part of that in ISPW. And we thank you for coming on, and we look forward to seeing your one-on-one match against Ray Kalitri. Again, that's going to be on April 12th at Hapakon High School in Hapakon, New Jersey. And then May 4th, 80s Wrestling Con, Rick Recon will main event his second year in a row in a Fatal 4-Way against Ray Kalitri with J.J. Dillon in his corner. Joey Ace and GKM. Recon, nice having you on again, man. We look forward to connecting back with you soon.
Thank you for having me on. It was just an honor, as always.
Later, man. Have a good one.
You too. You guys have a good one.
There you go, Tommy. Rick Recon right. on the mission to get back his title, which, in all fairness, he never lost. So it's his for the taking.
Yes, sir. You
want to
jump? If you want to jump over and just call on that other guest real quick, I'll start talking and cue you on if that's cool with you.
Sounds good.
All right. So, that was Rick Recon, who will be a part of the Fatal 4-Way at 80s Wrestling Con on Saturday, May the 4th, immediately following the convention. And, again, it'll be Rick Recon, Joey Ace, GKM, and the new ISPW Heavyweight Champion, the International Shining Star, Ray Kalitri. And, again, he won that golden ticket last 80s Wrestling Con on May the 6th. So he almost went the distance of a whole year waiting to cash in, but chose the Golden Ticket Rumble event itself to cash in on GKM, who had just became the first ever ISPW Grand Slam champion. Without question, in my opinion, probably the most popular wrestler in ISPW right now. And again, you can catch up and follow ISPW on Premier Wrestling's app. And again, the show from 2 weeks ago with Mick Foley is up in its entirety, and the Golden Ticket Rumble will be up probably in the next couple of days. And special guest that should be on right now making his 80s Wrestling the Podcast debut. If we're talking about the Golden Ticket Rumble from this past Friday, we have to have the guy that stole everyone's moment from them, and that is the new ISPW Heavyweight Champion, the International Shining Star, Ray Kalitri. Ray, welcome to 80s Wrestling the Podcast, and again, congratulations on your big title win last week.
Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special edition of Bobby's Podcast, 80s Podcast here. Good morning, everyone. The champ is here. The champ is called. I feel excited because I just heard Recon's, 10-minute thing that he had going here with you guys, and you guys interviewed him, and the guy just sounded like he just woke up, and he sounded like a freaking robot talking on here. But Tommy, how are you? Jumpin' Jay, how are you? Listeners, how are you? I am the International Shining Star, Ray Kalitri, ISPW's World Heavyweight Champion.
Hey, listen, Ray, congratulations on the big win, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Now, Jay, how awesome is it going to be? Now, Ray just won the title last week, and now he's finding himself in the main event of 80s Wrestling Con. And not only being in the main event of 80s Wrestling Con, but also having the legendary J.J. Dillon in his corner. Now, real quick, before we get into that, I want to make a couple of mentions real quick about Ray and what a huge fan of Ray's I am. To pull back the curtain for a second, Ray came, and it's so funny because it's at PacOn High School. We did a show there last November, not this November, the November before that, and Ray Kalitri showed up to meet me. I invited him to the show. He came to the show not to wrestle, just came with his girlfriend to check the show out, and he had a suit on. And when he had a suit on, man, like I automatically said to myself, I like this guy. Like, you don't see that. You don't see a wrestler showing up to an independent show to try and not only impress the promoter, but just, he walks like a star. He talks like a star. And I'll get back into more of that in a second. But he came to that show at PacOn High School to meet me and check out ISPW. And, Jay, the next show at PacOn High School is April 12th, and he's the ISPW Heavyweight Champion. If that is not destiny, and also 80s Wrestling Con is where he, cashed in his he won the Golden Ticket Rumble, and now here he goes, the next 80s Wrestling Con, he's in the main event defending the title at the same arena. So it's cool to see how quickly things have evolved for him. But Jay, I know that you've had several opportunities to watch Gray because I know you've been following the ISPW product on our YouTube and now on Premier Wrestling. It's cool to see how quickly someone like that can come along, don't you think?
Listen, a lot of times when you hear guys like Michael Jordan or LeBron James talk about their sport, they talk about having a high basketball IQ. I would say Ray has a very high pro wrestling IQ. I don't think it's by accident that he's in the spot that he's in. I think this is a man who really knows the business, knows himself and what he's capable of, and I think things are going according to plan for the new ISPW heavyweight champion.
Oh, yeah, this is my turn to jump in, right? I'm sorry. I'm over here distracted by what you guys are saying. Thank you so much.
Well, you got all the senoritas there. You got all the senoritas there. That's why you're on there.
It's tough to be the champ.
Yeah, you know what, man? It's hard, but, you know, I wouldn't expect it from anybody else, like, you know, but myself. But, look, listen, everybody knows that, you know, Ray Kalitri is money. Ray Kalitri is ratings. Ray Kalitri, people want to talk to him on the podcast. People want to get him on brands. People want to see his face. And as much as Recon wants to sit there and grind his teeth and be mad about and be sour and have a sour face and all this other stuff, I was almost about to curse. Maybe I could curse in Spanish because they won't understand me. But nevertheless, I did cash in, and I did take my moment and my opportunity, and I did it at the right moment, and I had 44 days left to cash in, and I decided to do it that night, and everyone's so upset at me. Oh, why did you ruin GKN's moment? Listen, I don't care that I ruined GKN's moment. I don't care that he was the first Grand Slam champion. I don't care that he had his mother in the front seat and his family in the front row, and he had loved ones and friends, and everybody was watching, and you know what? In case you missed it, you could always check out the replay at the Premier app, right? That's where it's at, right, Tommy? The Premier app?
Yes, sir. Hey, Ray, real quickly, I know we're headed at home base here on today's episode, but real quickly, tell our listeners, people out there that might not be familiar with Ray Kalitri, how you got in the wrestling business, some of the places you've been. You've done a lot of cool stuff that I don't think a majority of our listeners know about, so just tell them a little bit more about your career.
Oh, yeah. So yes, I did. I started back in 07. I took a year off. Life came. I had to be a parent, all this other stuff. So I had to do life. Then life threw a little swerve at me, and then I started wrestling again in 2018. And then, of course, I got injured. I broke my ankle twice within 1 year. Then COVID happened. But then along the line, I've wrestled in Mexico, I've wrestled in Puerto Rico, I've wrestled in California, I've wrestled all over the Northeast. I do travel a lot for pleasure, for vacation. So I have trained guys in Egypt and in Peru, and if you follow my social media, I have footage of all that stuff. I've wrestled legends as far as Negro Casas. I'm not sure if your fan base is familiar with who he is, but he's like the equivalent of Hulk Hogan, but in Mexico. I've wrestled, what's this guy's name? I'm drawing a blank right here. Tornado. Well, in English it's Tornado, Black Tornado, but in Spanish it's, Tornado Negro, which he's a huge deal in Tijuana. And I wrestled him down there in Tijuana in front of 7,000 people. And it was absolutely insane. I've done a lot of cool stuff that a lot of people don't know because, as my name says, I am the international shining star, right? So some of the stuff that I've done in my early on in my career has been overseas and in different countries.
Awesome, man. Jumpin' Jay, I know you're looking forward to that fatal four-way. Before today's episode, I told Jay all the drama that took place last weekend at ISPW. Jumpin' Jay, I hate to put you on the spot, but and Jumpin' Jay is coming from Minnesota, by the way, for his wrestling camp, so you'll get to meet Ray officially. Jay, I'm putting you on the spot. What's your pick for the Fatal 4-Way at 80s Wrestling Con?
Listen, man, you'd be hard-pressed to bet against the international superstar, the ISPW heavyweight champion, Ray. I can't pick anybody but Ray. He's listening to me, Tommy. And if I pick somebody else, he's going to see me at 80s Wrestling Con, and I don't want to be on the receiving end of whatever he dishes out. So I'm going with the champ. He's walking in with the title. He's walking out with the title.
And also, you guys can check out his amazing match with KC Navarro from last week's ISPW show. Again, it's to be up in the next few days on the Premier Wrestling app. Ray, we'll have you on again when we have some more time, but just wanted to get you on quickly and introduce you to our audience and let them all know that they can check you out in the main event at 80s Wrestling Con on Saturday, May the 4th. Ray, I know that you're busy with the senoritas over there. I know that you're doing better not say that on the air, but Ray, thank you again.
The show's PG.
Ray, congratulations again, man. We'll have you on again soon. Take care, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And real quick, right before I go, I will not forget that Joe Clean won the Golden Ticket Rumble of 2024. And I will not be a product of what I just did to GKM. So, Joe Clean, I have my eyes on you, man. I know you're listening. And if you're not listening, somebody better send this over to him. And also, the one last thing that I want to talk about is, real quick before I get out of here, is Rick talks about, brotherhood this and brotherhood that, and I cost him and Joey Ace their opportunity at the Golden Ticket Rumble. I will say this. I'm not going to make it easy for you guys to come after me. The Golden Ticket is exactly that. Why would I have that opportunity given to you guys? Of course I'm going to cost you the opportunity. I don't care. So what? What are you going to do about it? Nothing. You know why? Because I'm the champ. So, Rick, next time you see me, you salute me as the champ. With that being said,
Wow. Enjoy
your day, everybody. We'll talk soon. Adios.
All right, Ray. There you have it. The new ISPW heavyweight champion, the international shining star, Ray Kalitri. Those are fighting words up to date. And next time you see me, you salute me. I don't think Rick Recon's going to like that very much.
Man, yeah, he ended that on a hot note right there. Yeah, he's firing up himself. He's firing up his opponents. He's firing up the fans. What a time for ISPW, Tommy. This is getting exciting.
Yeah, man, and here's the funnest part. You can follow along now on Premier Wrestling. So if you do not live in the New Jersey area, you can watch ISPW on Premier Wrestling and also on their YouTube channel as well. So I know a lot of our listeners ask about ISPW that might not be able to go to the events. They could check out all the action on Premier Wrestling. Again, you can follow ISPW Wrestling on all forms of social media. And, yeah, man, things are heating up here in New Jersey with ISPW headed in to 80s Wrestling Con. Jumpin' Jay, I want you to talk about next week's topic. I know you sent it to me last night. Absolutely love it. Let's break it down and give everyone a preview of next week's episode of 80s Wrestling the Podcast.
Well, I think actually the one I sent you last night that I'm really excited to do, I think we're going to push it off another week because when we meet next Thursday, if my calendar is correct, we're just a few days out from WrestleMania 40. And so I think it's got to be a WrestleMania themed show next week. And one of the listeners texted me a couple days ago and says, hey, can we please do a deep dive into WrestleManias? And I want to know Jumpin' Jay's and Tommy's and all the listeners' pick for the most underrated WrestleMania match ever. And so I think we should talk about that next week. The most underrated WrestleMania match ever. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that sounds great. And also, I would like to know also next week, since there's going to be a WrestleMania-themed episode, so the most underrated WrestleMania match ever, and how about their personal favorite WrestleMania match ever, and their favorite WrestleMania itself.
It's getting good. It's getting good. All right, so listeners, come prepared with your most underrated match ever. Taker, Giant Gonzalez, or whatever you want, your most underrated match. Bring your favorite match to the table, and then overall, your favorite WrestleMania in the 40-year history. Is that what I heard, Tommy? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That sounds
I love
fun.
It.
And listen, maybe just maybe, since it is going to be the 40th WrestleMania, maybe I can figure out a way to get one of the WrestleMania wrestlers that appeared on the past WrestleMania on the podcast right here next week.
Well, if you do that, give me a heads up, and I'll make sure I include them in my favorite match of all time. I don't want to disrespect the guest.
unless it's a Giant Gonzalez, right?
Hey, if you get him, then I'll be impressed.
Hey, Jay, it was a fun episode today, man. Thanks for hanging out for another hour. Talking some wrestling, our 1 hour Thursday morning therapy, as I like to call it. And I hope everyone out there has a great weekend. Jumpin' Jay, hope you have a great weekend. And we will catch you back for a special WrestleMania edition next week of 80s Wrestling, the podcast.